you for your giving. Appreciate all that you do, both in the building and online. All your giving is appreciated. Let us bow our heads and pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we pray that you would bless this preaching moment. God, that you would allow it to be something that would benefit us spiritually, God. Take us into the next week as well as move us into the next month in a way that causes us to be on fire for you, God. Every time that we share, I'm praying that something will be deposited so that we can truly say our coming was not in vain or our tuning in was not in vain. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, with our Bibles in our hands, we're going to do our confession together. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. We are a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. All right, grateful. And just a reminder, this reminds me for the young people who would love to do that confession. You're more than welcome to let us know and we will get you in. Sister Sadie did a wonderful job the last time we had a young person do it. So just remember, that's something that is available for our young people. All right, moving into today. Today is a special day, so let's just give us the title. The title is The Power of Pentecost. Today happens to be Pentecost Sunday, and so the question is, what was Pentecost? What is the what's the backdrop? What's the backstory? What does it mean when you talk about Pentecost? So let's give us just a quick definition that will cover a lot of things. Pentecost was a Jewish festival held 50 days after Passover, celebrating harvest and God's covenant with Israel. Notice in our confession, we talk about harvest in our financial confession. So this was a celebration of harvest, and it happened to be 50 days after Passover. 50 days, the number 50 is important because 50 was also what they called Jubilee. They had what they call a Jubilee year. And what made 50 important was actually the number 7 that preceded the 50. So number 7 was known as the number of God, the number of perfection. So after they had 7 sevens, which is 49, the next year would be the 50th year, and it was a jubilee or a celebration. What they would do, they would make sure that everybody who had debt, their debts were wiped clean, so 50 was important. So jubilee is important, but then the 50 days were important as well. But they both come to a celebration. So 50 days after the Passover is harvest and celebration. 50 years is a jubilee year, so it's important. So Pentecost really means the 50th. So the 50th year, the 50th month, the 50th day. Now, me personally, in 2 months, I will be hitting my year 50. I'm moving into my jubilee, and I plan to celebrate. Not just for the day, but just making it that far, making it that far. So when you think of the idea of 50, there's a lot going on, and I don't have time to get into all of that. It would take too long. So what I want to do is just flash this up, and I'm just going to give us a brief introduction of this statement. And then we'll go backwards one. From what was Pentecost to what is Pentecost? So what was and what is are actually not the same, because what we know now as Pentecost changed. So it changed from what was to what is. And I think that is important. I think that statement is important for us as believers, because what was is not always what it's going to be. And so there is a power, I'm talking about the power of Pentecost, there is a power that comes on our, and this is not good grammar, but I'll say it this way, there's a power that comes on our wases so that we can have some is's. In other words, what was? In other words, if you have always been broke all your life, I need you to understand that's what was. But there's a power that can turn your was into an is. In other words, what will be, God brings it into your now, and you begin to possess it in your now, and it's different from what it used to be. I was bullied, but look at me now. I was depressed, but look at me now. But here's the thing, it's nothing that we can do on our own. It takes a power from the outside coming on and getting in the inside to change and transform our ears. So I am wondering, what is your was? It could be anything. You could put anything in the place of was. Now, sometimes the was and the is are actually the same. It is just more of it. In other words, let's use Draylen for example. If he got a 4.2 in high school, then he has the ability to get good grades. And so he needs a power so that that can continue into his collegiate years, that he doesn't lose his way. He can go from one level to the next. So here's the thing. When your was is bad, God can shift it with his power and turn it good. But when your was is good, what the devil wants you to do is cause you to slip from where you were and fall backwards. But God wants to take whatever you're doing well and he wants to magnify it. Whatever's going wrong, he wants to reverse it. So it takes his power. So that's why we need God in our lives, because there is some rearranging. There's some molding that God is doing. There's some shaping, like I talked about on Mother's Day, that God is doing to get us to where we need to be. But let me pause and say this as we move on, and then I'm going to go ahead and break it down. So when you think about seven sevens or 49, when you think about 49 going into 50 years, that's not a little bit of time. When you think about 50 weeks, that's not a little bit of time. 50 months, that's not a little bit of time. So there's a possibility that the process to get you to the power is a hurting process. It's a possibility that the process is a stretching process, a trying process. Sometimes in order to get to the power, it costs you something. And there's a lot of people that they lose their way in the process. Look at somebody and say, trust the process. All right, so now let's give us a few processes in scripture. So six steps that get us to the power in Pentecost. We're going to back up into the Old Testament. We're going to end up in the New Testament and try to look at some of the steps that got us to this place of Pentecost, because we're trying to think about the power of it all, and we're trying to see how that applies to us today. So let's start off with number one. Here's number one. It is the promise. So many of us, there's a promise or promises hanging over our life. And the reason why we can't give up is not because we don't feel like giving up, or not because we don't sometimes want to give up. We're afraid that if we give up, we'll never get to the promise. Sometimes I've told God, don't talk to me about it if you're not going to do it. I'd be better off if you weren't going to say nothing. Then I wouldn't get my hopes up. But the problem is I see too many promises in God's word. And the promises make me want to hold on. But sometimes the promises also drive me crazy. Because when, God, when? Why, God, why? How, God, how? But when you think of the people of God in the books of the Bible, the people of Israel, they had some of the same issues. So let's look first at the promise. Joel 2:28.
And afterward, I will pour
out.
Hold on.
There's key in those two words right there. It says what?
Afterward.
And afterward. Thank God for the suddenlies. Thank God for the right away. Thank God that he snapped his finger and everything fixed. But sometimes you got to wait till the afterward.
Yes.
All right, read.
And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions.
All right, next verse.
Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
Now, when you get all the way to Acts, Peter quotes this verse and tells them this is the fulfillment. But when you think about it, you're talking about thousands of years. We're not talking about just weeks and months. Literally thousands of years before what God spoke actually came to pass. So the promise is important, but the promise don't mean it's going to happen right away. All right, so number two, you need this. You need the plan. God, thank you for the promise, but also thank you for the plan. Because while I wait on the promise, sometimes I lose my faith unless there is a plan. And here's the plan. Let's look in Ezekiel 36, verse 26.
And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart.
This is important, but what's really important is not just what is being done, but the fact that it says, I will. All right, so let's look at verse 27.
And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow.
So that you will. So we get three I wills so that you will. Okay, read it, the rest of it.
Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations.
Let me go ahead and just simplify it for you. The beauty of the promise is that God comes with a plan. And the beauty of the plan is that it's not in your hands to enact the plan. Because when it's in my hands, I have a tendency to mess things up. I have a tendency to sin and fail. But what God says, I'm going to put my heart in your heart. I'm going to take out your messed up heart. I'm going to put my heart in your heart. That's why the songwriter said, give me a clean heart. Because if it's left up to my heart, I'll mess it up. I'll mess up my marriage. I'll mess up. I'll be addicted somewhere. But God says, I'm going to put my heart in your heart. So the promise comes from me, but the plan comes from me. All right? Let me share this with you. This is the beauty of being understanding the grace of God. Sometimes when I wanted to mess up, he wouldn't let me mess up. Sometimes when you wanted to go through a poor door, God would close the door just to save you. When you think back over your life, he got you out of some stuff. He blocked some relationships. He stopped some stuff to make you look better than what you really were. Some of the things that you should have been in, God didn't allow you to get in because he said, I got a promise, but I also got a plan. And I ain't gonna let you mess up my plan. See, I'm preaching now, but when I went to college, I was drinking and getting high and getting ready to mess up the anointing on my life. Yeah. But God says, I got a plan. So I got a praying mama somewhere. I got a praying grandma somewhere. I got a preaching daddy somewhere. And what happened, that caused the plan to still come to pass. The promise is one thing, but the plan is something else. All right, so what God does, he takes us out of the process so we don't mess it up. All he needs for us to do is be still. But every now and then he includes us in the process. Let's go to number three. Six steps, we're halfway there. Now let's look at the prophecy. And so, of course, the original prophecy is in Joel, which I'm calling the promise. But there's something else that I think is powerful, especially when you look at your life and how sometimes what you're dealing with doesn't look like what you want it to end up and be. Lady Devin, she likes not crossword puzzles, but those puzzles, jigsaw puzzles. She likes the puzzles with the pieces. I was down with her when she wanted to do the 100-piece puzzle, but when she wanted to do the 500, 1,000-piece puzzle, sweetheart, I ain't down with all that. But she knows how to do it. But in order to do that, there has to be, here's another P word that I don't have in there, there has to be a picture. And the picture helps you with the pieces.
Yes.
But me, who's not working on it, when I come in, all I see is a bunch of pieces. It doesn't look like anything, but she's working on the picture.
Yes.
So even though the pieces are broken up, she stays long enough to cause the pieces to form the picture.
Yes.
What I want you to understand, God sees the picture, but sometimes all you see is the pieces.
Yes.
I can't make it. I can't come out of this because you see the pieces. But thank God for someone who knows how to put the pieces back together again. One thing I do understand about Humpty Dumpty, yes, he had a great fall. He caught all the king's horses and he caught all the king's men. But Humpty never called the king. See, if you call the king, he can put the pieces back together again. All right, so let's look at a revelation that happened with Ezekiel. Ezekiel was part of the exiled people, and Ezekiel began to have visions and prophecies. And one specific vision is very powerful. We find it in Ezekiel 37. So let's look at Ezekiel 37, verse 1.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones.
Now, when you think that the hand of the Lord grabbed him and snatched him and put him in a place, you would think he put him in a place full of blessing, put him in a place full of flowers and full of milk and honey, but he dropped him off in a place full of bones. Not only that, King James calls them dry bones. Now, here's the thing. You can't get to dry bones without some other things happening. First of all, there has to be some decomposition or decomposing, which causes there to be dust because the body returns to the dust. And so then you get to the dryness and the bones. So there's a lot going on that has already happened. So basically, let me just make it real simple. This is a bad situation. This don't look that good. This don't look that promising. There are some situations you get dropped into. You can see the silver lining. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But there's other places you get dropped in that are so dry and the pieces are so broken up, you can't see your way out. So why would God put his prophet, his man, in this kind of situation? Because he wanted him to see something. Verse number two.
He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry.
Not just dry, but very dry. He calls me to pass around them. And of course, this is a vision, but he's seeing things and God is trying to show him something. And what he's seeing is the state of Israel, the spiritual state they were in. They were actually exiled. They were no longer in their land. There was no longer a Jerusalem and a city to go to. They were in Babylon. They were captive. It was not a pretty picture. It was not a pretty situation. It wasn't something you was gonna jump and shout over and cry hallelujah. It was a bad place. Anybody ever been in a bad place?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at verse 3.
He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know."
He spoke to me and said, "Can life come out of this dead situation?" And Ezekiel's like, "I don't know. Only you know." I done looked at some situations in my life, and when God says, "Can you believe in this?" I said, "I don't know. There's some stuff I got a hunch." There's an old song, "I got a feeling everything gonna be all right." Well, sometimes I don't have that feeling.
Amen.
Sometimes I got a feeling that this is bad. This is real bad. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And God spoke to Ezekiel and said, "What you think about this situation?" Verse 4.
Again, he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord."
Whoa, wait a second. So here's the thing. The promise is important. The plan is important. And God takes us out of the plan. But when God puts us in the plan, he puts us in to prophesy to the dead stuff.
Yes.
Now, God, I'd much rather you put me in the flowers and in the milk and honey. But when you put me in a place that's dead and dry, what you're trying to prove to me is that the God that speaks through me can cause the situation around me to change and start looking like the promise. On last week, Sister Ruth began to talk to you about the spoken word. So you don't just come to church to wear something nice, to see your friends, and to shout hallelujah. You come to get the word in your life so that when you see your dry bones, you've got something to say to your dry place. All right, verse number 5. Read that.
"Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life."
Uh-oh. Thus says the word of the Lord. Not thus says Ezekiel. Thus says Andre. Thus says Devin. But if I get God's words, I will speak what God says. And God told him something that was kind of crazy. He told him to look at the bones and say, "I'm going to cause breath to enter into you that you may come to life." Breath is also known as the pneuma, or the pneumatics, or the pneumonia. That is the root of breath. But also, if you were to look at the you're studying theology, and there's theological terms. I'm just going to throw a few of them out there for you. Eschatology is the study of the end times. Christology is the study of Christ. Theology is theos, the study of God. But there's something called pneumatology. And pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. And so since Pentecost represents the Holy Spirit, what God was doing through Ezekiel is saying, when you speak to the bones, you are speaking my spirit to the situation, and you are commanding that my spirit get on the broken pieces. And when my spirit touched the broken pieces, it will no longer look like pieces. It'll look like the picture.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Let's look at verse number 6.
"I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord."
I'm not doing this because of Ezekiel, but I'm doing this so the situation will know I am the Lord. And so your dead and your dry and your broken situation, it has to answer. answer to the word of the Lord. And God dropped you in this situation to open your eyes. If you speak what thus says the Lord, and you begin to command. Now, what I do like is God gave him some specific stuff to say. If he just said, bones, get up and move, the bones might just get up and move, but I don't want just a bunch of bones. He said, no, I want some skin and some flesh and some sinews. I don't even know what sinews are, but since God, if he the one that created it, if he tell me to speak it, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to speak what he said until I see what he said. I'm going to say what he says until I see what he says. So if God tells me to call it, I'm going to call. Now, here's another point that's really interesting. I'm going to throw this in here. Not my notes, but I just felt like throwing it in here. There's a saying that says God cannot lie. And when we say God cannot lie, it doesn't mean he cannot because he doesn't have the ability to tell a lie. It means that what he says is so creative that he cannot tell a lie because it will be what he says. So if he says this is a purple television, instead of it being a light, it won't be a lie because the light will turn into a purple television because his words are so creative. He can't speak something that doesn't eventually come to pass. So if God says I'm a champion and I feel like a chump, God cannot lie. The Bible said, let God be true and every man be a liar. So I speak what God says until it becomes just like what God said. All right. Here we go. Next verse. Number 7.
So I prophesied as I was commanded.
So I said what I felt like saying.
And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone.
What happened is, as I said what God said, things begin to come together. And what is interesting, it says there was a rattling or there was a shaking. It's a possibility that the shaking in your life is not breaking you. It's actually bringing things in alignment around you. All right? I don't want to go too far on that, but just let that settle there for a second. Sometimes, let me put it to you this way. Sometimes the making is in the shaking. Sometimes the breaking gets fixed by the shaking. And so it looks like God is shaking you, but God is shaking everything around you and causing it to come just like he said. Try to figure out how I can just give examples of situations like this, but it could be many things. It could be a single person who feels like I'm supposed to be married, and God says, speak marriage, think marriage, and I don't have a suitor in sight. I don't have anybody that even looks my way. You got to learn how to start speaking it. The perfect example is happening right now. So we're celebrating Draylen's open house. But many of you guys remember after the second miscarriage, how me and Lady Devon were so broken, but we kept speaking that we would be mother and father. And it went into the atmosphere and it made bone come to its bone. I don't know what you're working on. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I know you need to start speaking. I know you need to start declaring. I know you need to start saying something. And when you say it, a shaking begins to happen. But hold on through the shaking, because the shaking is making something come to pass. All right. Sounds good, but I got to lower your expectations for just a second and go to point number 4. Here it is. The patience. Oh, I love the other part, but there is a part of this thing called patience. And patience is even one of the fruit of the Spirit. So you're not going to get to the promise without some patience, without some waiting. Now we're going to jump over into the New Testament. Let's look at Acts 1:4.
Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised."
The gift he what?
He promised.
Okay.
As I told you before.
He said, in other words, don't move until you get the promise. But sometimes the grass looks greener on the other side. But I heard somebody say, if you water your grass will look green too. So sometimes you got to stay where you are and water your grass. Amen. Until it becomes what it's supposed to be. But it is very interesting how it always looks better. If you're stuck in Muncie, it looks better in Indianapolis. If you're in Indianapolis, it looks better in Muncie. If you're stuck in Charlotte, it looks better in Los Angeles. Wherever you are, sometimes it looks better. But the word says stay where you are until the promise comes. All right. Now, if you can think back what was going on in this time, Jesus had died and was crucified. He has now resurrected and he's moving amongst them. And so he's giving them some instructions. The next verse.
John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Now, I like the specifics of this. He says, in just a few days. There are certain words that come and it accelerates the timing. In other words, God is not telling you just to wait forever, 20 your thumbs forever. He will drop certain words on you to let you know soon and very soon. You going to see the king. We think that's only a funeral song. No, some of y'all are going to see the king in your situation soon and very soon. King James says not many days hence, not many days from now. It's getting closer than what you think it is. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't start doing something stupid right now. It's closer than what you think. I hear God saying it's just around the corner. I hear God saying hold on. You won't be waiting too much longer. I hear God saying it's on the way. Some of us, we are like a person who's ordered off of Amazon, and we got the Amazon Prime, and it's supposed to be one day shipping, but Amazon Prime been tripping a little bit lately. That one day done extended. But what they will do, they'll give you a tracking number where you can look at the tracking number and you can see it's on the way. It may not be when I want it, but I feel like it's on the way. I got a tracking number. It's on the way. It's done left the department of heaven, and it's on the way. It's not going to get lost. It's not going to end up at the wrong address. It's got my name on it. What God has for me, it still is for me. It's on the way. It's coming very soon. I believe it's coming to my house. I believe what God promises on the way, but I gotta wait till it comes. Somebody say, wait till it comes. All right. Let's look at verse 6.
So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?"
So they kept asking him, "Look, God, when you going to do it? When you going to do it?" Look at what he says in verse 7.
He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know."
Basically, he said, it ain't none of your business when. Just know it's coming and wait. I don't have to tell you when. I don't have to tell you how. I don't have to tell you where. You just wait and know it's on the way. And some of y'all want God to give you every little detail. If he gave you every little detail, you wouldn't be walking in faith. You're going to have to do some stuff by faith. You're going to have to go without seeing. But I'm here to tell you, if you wait, God's going to bring it to pass. All right. But this is what he says, verse 8.
"But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
He said, here's the thing, but you're going to get some power. So we're talking about the power of Pentecost. And guess what the power is for? Even though I'm talking about you're going to get what God has promised you, the scripture says it's so that you can be a witness. See, what God is bringing to your life really is not about you. What he's bringing to your life is so you can tell somebody else how good God is. So you can tell them, I was broken into pieces, but the picture you see now is because the power came after the promise I waited for. And I'm here to let you know, if you trust in the Lord, he'll make it all right. Just pause and think about this for a second. It's a possibility. It's been so dark for you, so you can shine the light for so many more.
Yes.
See, unfortunately, if I get up and tell you, oh, God came through for me, saints. Oh, hallelujah, he came through for me. What did he do? He delivered me from a hangnail. Oh, Jesus. You mean you doing all that over a hangnail? It all of that celebration don't match what you've been through. But that's why God allows you to go through stuff. That way when your testimony comes, everybody can see this is the Lord's doing. And I just got back from this chaplaincy conference, and there was a young Mexican man. And many people were giving their testimonies. But when he gave his testimony, the whole room lit up. Because he talked about being in gangs and all the things that was going on and how he was going the wrong way. And in that situation, he cried out to God, and God done turned him around, and now he's a chaplain, and he still looked like an essay from the street, but God put something down in his spirit. So when he gave his testimony, it touched everybody, because you can see he had been through something and now he's on the other side. All right, all right. So let's throw this up here as a takeaway moment. Many of us are stuck in the wait, but the good news is that's where the power is. See, some of y'all younger people wouldn't understand because y'all grew up in the digital age. I grew up in the analog age. And one of the things that happened in the analog age, we would have these little cars that you would want to run, but what would happen is you would wind this little screw and the car would go. But if you wanted to go faster and further, you had to wind it up more. In other words, you couldn't let it go yet. You had to wind it up more. Let me give you another example you would understand. A rubber band, if I want to shoot a rubber band from here toward the back, I can't pull it just a little. I gotta stretch it, and you gotta pull it. And I'm here to let you know, it's in the weight, or in the stretching, or in the pulling. That's where the power is being built up. That's where it's being worked up. That's where it's being revved up. And then when you let go, whoa, it gets shot out. It's a possibility that while you're waiting and while you're crying and while you're stressing and while you're hurting, the power is being built up in you. And when it's time for him to let you go, he's wound you up, he lets you go, and you'll go all the way. That's where the power is. All right, let's get us to number five. Number five is real quick. Got to get us to number five. Number five is there's a problem. There's one problem. It won't read like a problem, but I'm going to show us how it can be a problem. Let's look at Acts 2, 1. Verse 1 says what, Mother Mitchell?
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
There's so much power in that I don't even have time to get into, but let me put this up here to show you how it becomes a problem. Look what it is. They're going to put it up for me. Some get misaligned and divided in the waiting. But true power is only multiplied by unity. So Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem, but stay until the promise comes. But when you get over in Corinthians, you will find out that command or Some people thought it was a suggestion, but that command went out to over 500 people. But only 120 of them heeded the call and did what they were supposed to do. Because what happens in the waiting is that's when the devil starts picking people off, pulling people aside. And then you start getting divided and the unity starts getting broken. But once unity is broken, power is broken. I was just in preparing this message. I have a thought, but I don't know too much about electricity. So I searched it out. And it talks about a circuit. What happens when a circuit begins to lose power? It goes from circuit to circuit. But if there is a missing piece in the circuit, what happens is the circuit is supposed to go into a loop. And then keep looping all throughout the system. But if one of those systems begins to go out or divert, it breaks the unity of the system. And just maybe in your home, you can trip just one circuit and go fix that one thing. But what happens when all the circuits start getting tripped? Or you hit the wrong thing. Many times when the power goes out in the storm, the transformer, it hits the wrong thing and it breaks and no power can come forth. We're talking about the power of Pentecost, but in order to get to the power, there has to be unification. Yes. Has to be unity. And so there can't be division. And that's what's going on in our political system, is made to divide us and break us down so we don't have any power. But I plan to get hooked up with who I gotta get hooked up with so I can multiply and increase my power. One can chase 1,000. Two, 10,000. There's a multiplication power. So that means instead of defeating Kelly, I need Kelly in order for us to be as powerful as we need to be. But then I need to add Trish as well. I need Doug as well. I need to get all of, and if we all get together in one place on one accord, then the promise can come and the power can come. One question I do have to ask myself, the promise took thousands of years to come, but one question I got to ask myself, was it because they were never aligned? I can't do it until y'all come together. Because what'll happen, it'll drop. If I just do it with this person, it'll drop. I needed it connected. I need the links connected. It's got to work together, all right? So number six. Let's finish this up with the power. So we are connected. Let's read it. Acts 2.
Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting.
The wind just began to rustle. Sound. It didn't say it was wind, but it sounded like wind. It was the pneuma. It was the breath of God. In other words, the breath that God breathed in man, that man became a living soul. God calls that breath to amplify in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus told him, he said, you can't hold on to me after I've resurrected. I got to go, but when I go, I'll send you the comforter. I'll send you the power. I'll let the power be on the inside of you. But once y'all come together, I'll release the power. Yeah, release the power, all right? Verse 3.
They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them.
Number 4, which is the last verse.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
All right, many times when we talk about Pentecost, that's all we want to talk about is a bunch of tongues. No, there are steps that come into that. And so what I want to leave us with is as we align ourselves with God and align ourselves with each other, with not just everybody, but those who have God in them, what happens is we bring ourselves together where the power can come. And it's in that power that the promise, the plan, the prophecy, the patience all makes sense once the power of Pentecost comes. All right, let's confess together. Let's stand to our feet. Here's the confession. Say it together. Father God, I thank you that I am daily walking in the power of Pentecost. All the promises, plans, and prophecies. All the promises, plans, and prophecies over my life will powerfully come to pass soon. Somebody say soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. Thank you for what it means in history and in Christendom. But thank you for what it means to each one of us who have been waiting on the things that you promised us. And God, you're going to give us power. If we have to wait a little longer, you give us more power to wait a little longer. But God, soon and very soon, people will see the promise over our life. We will be walking in full-fledged manifestation of the promises over our life. And we will give you all the credit, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a great, wonderful, marvelous week. We love you.